Amen. How many of y'all glad to be here this morning? Huh? We are going to do our Advent of Peace today. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. Ephesians 2:13, Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off from, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." I would repeat there in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace." Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful this morning. I pray that you'd give us hearts to hear what you have to say to us today. Lord, whatever people are going through, whatever they're battling, whatever they're facing, whatever they're doubting, questioning, or fearing, God, that today you would grant them peace. Lord, help us to realize that through you and in you, we truly can find peace. So Lord, help me to preach plain and clear. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we begin this Advent season, we have a video that we would like to share with you on peace.
Sometimes we are just so certain that we know what the next move should be. We think we know the right answer. But many times what we think is the best way just won't work. And when things don't go the way we want them to, we may have to make peace with the fact that our way might not be the best way.
Hey, bud, did you get a piece? I don't think it goes like that, does it? You sure? Here, let's try this one. See if this one fits in there. And then see if this one fits beside it. Right down there. Does that look better?
A lot of times, we want things done faster, or we think we know what's better. But it's especially in times like this that we should have peace, knowing there is a plan greater than we could ever imagine.
Okay, this is confession time this morning. How many of you all have worked a puzzle and you tried to force a piece in a place that it didn't fit? Anybody? It's like, no, it's gotta go there. It's gotta go there. It even looks like it might fit, but it doesn't fit. And then when you finally find the right piece, how does that make you feel? Let's go ahead. Let's all do it together. You put the right piece in there after you've been thinking, this is it, this is it, this is it. You put it in there, and you go, what? Whew. Isn't there like a sigh of relief there? Well, today we observe the Advent of peace. How do you like our puzzle? Huh? You like it? What, some of you are shaking your head, no. What? Why? What's wrong with it? In the wrong spot? How many of y'all think, is it in the wrong spot? So what is it? See, like some of you immediately, you saw that, you might not have even been able to worship so far. You're like, I don't know what they're doing, but that's not right. Now, and some of you are probably still not even hearing a word I'm saying, because like you want me to right now go back and fix that piece, huh? How many OCD people do I have in the house this morning? I mean, it's killing you. I know it's killing you. I know you want to fix it, and I know you want me to fix it, but guess what? You're going to have to hold on and wait just a little longer. There's something about when things are not in place that kind of disturbs us, doesn't it? It's because, like, we know that's not right. We know that it should be fixed. And so we get uneasy. It doesn't give us peace, does it? Questions. When we have questions, why do we have questions? We have questions because we don't know the answer. And when we don't know the answer to something, that does not bring us what? peace. It makes us anxious. It makes us, oh, I've got to find the answers. You know, little kids, they ask questions all the time. Parents, some of y'all had this happen to you. Your kids ask you question after question after question, and they go, why, and why, well, why, well, why, well, how's this? And then finally, they get to the point where you don't even know the answer, and you just get so frustrated, you say, hey, it just is, it just is, it just is. You can't even give them an explanation. You just, because you're frustrated, because there are sometimes they ask us difficult questions. We have to have an answer. Because if we don't have an answer, we don't have peace. The puzzle has to be fixed, because if the puzzle's not fixed, we don't have peace. The broken pieces in our life that frustrate us, that make us angry, that disappoint us, that causes us to maybe be depressed. We want it back together, because when it's not right, we don't have what? Peace. And so this morning, I want us to go through an exercise in looking at some people in the scripture, people who were godly people, people who loved the Lord, some people who didn't love the Lord, and how the answer to their questions was Jesus, all of them. This morning, some of you, you're believers. You love the Lord. You have professed your faith in Jesus. You've trusted in him. And you believe. But there's times in your life where you struggle, where you battle, where you still see brokenness, where you still see scattered pieces, where the picture isn't fully complete, and you still have questions. For the unbeliever, there's multiple things in your life where you're seeking maybe to put together that somehow just doesn't fit. Oh, you force it and you try to make certain things fit, but as hard as you push, still the wrong piece. And so for the believer and the non-believer, here's the truth that we want to learn this morning. Is that Jesus, he is the peace for your peace. You with me? And so in the Bible, we have a man by the name of Job. And Job was a righteous man. He was a devout man. He loved the Lord. He offered sacrifices to God on a daily basis. He even offered sacrifices on behalf of his children in case his children misbehaved. And he wanted to make sure that they were covered by his prayer. And he loved the Lord. And one day he woke up and his children were dead. His business was gone. And everything that he loved and held close to his heart was all wiped away. It was devastating. He had lost everything. He had lost his children, his business, all gone. And Job began to ask why. His question was why? Why, Lord? Why all of this? And then he lost his health. His health was taken away, and he didn't understand. Why is this, Lord? Why? I'm a righteous man. I love you. I serve you. I follow you. I see other people. They don't love you. They don't follow you. They seem to do well. Their business is still succeeding. They don't seem to have any issues. Why would that happen to me? Anybody ever ask the question, why? Why am I going through this? Why did this happen? Why? And Job even said, why was I even born? He said, it would have been better for me to be stillborn. He had gotten to a point where he was so downtrodden that the pieces in his life were so scattered that it didn't make sense, and he was miserable. He wanted his day in court with the Lord. He wanted answers. Any of y'all ever want answers? Now, Job asked why. But his peace would come when he trusted in the providence of God. So Job, though he asked why, his peace was when he trusted in God's providence. When he finally had to realize, God, you're God. You know what you're doing. You see the bigger picture. You know how all the pieces work together. I don't have that power. I don't have that authority. But I know that you are a God who is just. I know that you're a God who is righteous. I know that you're a God who loves. I know that you're a God who cares. And even though the scattered pieces of my life doesn't seem to add up to that answer, I'm going to trust in your providence that you are in charge, that you have a plan for my life and a provision, and I'm just going to trust you. And when you can trust in God's providence, even when you can't see all the big picture, it can bring you what? Peace. Jesus is the peace for our peace. How many of y'all remember a man by the name of Abraham? Abraham was a man that was a righteous man, the Bible says. And God called Abraham to leave his country. Go leave your country. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to bless you with a multitude of descendants, and all the peoples of the world are going to be blessed. And he was given a great promise, wasn't he? And so he left. He left his country, him and his wife, and they ventured out not knowing where they were going. They were people of faith. Now, how many of you all have ever experienced this in your life? Talking to believers here this morning, those of us who profess faith in Jesus, we love the Lord. We believe in him. And if God makes a promise to us, we believe it's going to come true. Amen? Hey, we're believers. We believe. And so when God promises something, we believe it. Amen? Now, how many of y'all have had confidence and you've believed it, but then the picture of your life didn't look like it was coming through, and you started doubting? Anybody admit that even as a believer, you believe, but you're like that man when Jesus says, do you believe I can heal you? I believe. Help my unbelief. Have you all had that moment? I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. I believe, but yet I still have a little bit of doubt. Anybody who's a believer still have a little bit of doubt sometimes. How's this really going to all work out? And so Abraham was given this promise, but guess what? He had no son. And so year after year, no child. God, you remember that promise you made me that I was going to have many descendants? Well, I don't even have one yet. And he began to question because the puzzle didn't seem in place. And he didn't know what to do with that. Anybody ever not know what to do with that? It's like, Lord, this is what you said. I know what you said. I believe it. However, I know what I see, and I'm confused. Anybody been there? Well, Abraham was there. And Abraham did something that probably what many of us do. Instead of waiting on God to fulfill his promise, he found a piece that he thought would work, and he tried to jam it in there, right? His wife was even in on this. They had a maidservant. Sarah said, Abraham, we're both old and up in years. We're never going to have a child. How about we have a child through our maidservant? Wrong piece. But guess what they did? They were going to put it in there anyway. We're going to make it work. If God hasn't come through on his promise yet, then I'm going to have to do something. And so they did it their way. How many of y'all have ever tried to do something your way? Didn't wait on God, just do it your way. Not sure if you should take the job or not. You ain't got any peace with God, ain't got any direction with God. Oh, do it anyway. You're not sure if you should make the phone call or not. You're wanting to, you don't really feel at ease about making the phone call, but you're just anxious, so you just go ahead and make it anyway. Doing that business deal, maybe not completely at peace, but You don't wait on God, sign it anyway. Purchase that car. There's something saying maybe you shouldn't do it. You're trying to pray for peace. You don't have any really direction yet, but guess what you're going to do? Going to buy it anyway. And then what do you find? You find a puzzle that doesn't look right. And so they did it their way, and God said, wrong piece. He's not going to be your son. I told you I'm going to bless you with a child. Can't you wait on me? Anybody have problems waiting? How many of y'all impatient? Isn't that hard? Just waiting. And they couldn't wait, so they tried to fix. They tried to put their own piece in there. And guess what? Abraham had to learn. Abraham had to learn that although he might have asked the question of what, you see, Abraham said, "What sign are you going to give me? What sign will you give me?" And God took him out and showed him the stars and said, "Look at the stars in the heaven. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as those stars." And even though Abraham asked what, the answer to his peace was in the promise. He had to learn to trust in the peace of God's promise. And so when things in life might not look like the picture is working out, there's a promise that God has made. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Well, doesn't seem like God's around. We have a promise that he hears our prayer. Well, doesn't seem like he hears my prayer. We have a promise that he is with us always. Trust it. And when you trust in the promises of God, it gives you what? Peace. Moses. How many of y'all have heard of Moses? Right? So Job asked why. Abraham asked what. Moses asked who. You see, Moses refused to call himself the Pharaoh's daughter, and as he grew older, he saw an Egyptian striking a Hebrew, and this enraged him, and so he thought he would do something about it, so he goes down, and he kills the Egyptian. Fearful for his life, he escapes to the wilderness. He's there for 40 years, and in that time, he meets his future father-in-law and his future wife. And he's on the mountain, and God appears to him in a burning bush. And God speaks to him, and he has this encounter. And he tells Moses that, "I'm going to use you, Moses. You're going to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I've heard the cries of my people. I see that they're in bondage, and I'm going to use you to deliver them." And Moses asked, who, me? Who, me? Me? Why? How are you going to use me? I can't talk well. He came up with all kinds of excuses of why God couldn't use him. I wonder if any of us do that. Well, God can't use me. Well, why can't he? Well, you know, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not rich enough. I don't have the skill. I'm not talented enough. How many of us use multiple excuses of like why he can't use you? Huh? He wants you to be a missionary at your workplace. He can't use me there. Why not? What about at school? What about on the ball team? I'm not the right person. Use somebody. And Moses tried to make excuses, and what he had to learn was that Moses, the peace wasn't going to come in trusting in himself, that the peace that Moses was going to have is when he trusted in God's power. God says, when they ask you who sent you, you tell them this. Tell them, I am who I am sent you. You tell them the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God is sending you, and by God's power, you'll do great things. You see, it wasn't the power of Moses. It wasn't Moses' staff that split the Red Sea. It was the power of God. It wasn't Moses that brought down the plagues on Egypt. It was the power of God. It wasn't Moses that brought manna down from heaven. It was the power of God. It wasn't Moses that brought water out of the rock. It was the power of God. And the New Testament tells us that it was Jesus walking with them in the wilderness. He was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He was the water in the rock. It was Jesus. And so when you need peace, you need to understand this. Jesus is the peace for your peace. Amen? It's by the power of Jesus. How can you accomplish things? Through the power of Jesus. How can you be a witness at work, witness at school, witness to where you go? The power of Jesus. How can you start that business? How can you bless those people? The power of Jesus. How are you going to do it? Through the power of Jesus. Amen. We turn the pages into the New Testament. We have this young lady, a lady that loved the Lord at a young age. Her heart was pure. She was in her room one night, and an angel came and appeared before her. And when an angel appears before you, it startles you. Amen? How many of y'all would think if you saw an angel, you'd be a little fearful? Now, every time in the Bible when an angel encounters someone, you know what one of the first things they say to him? Fear not. Why? Because if you had an angel come visit you, I think you'd be pretty fearful, right? Oh, I'm dead, right? Oh, gosh, what's happened? And so fear not, fear not. I'm Gabriel. God has sent me to tell you that you are going to be with child. You shall call his name Jesus. And Mary, she asks a question, right? Because questions, when you have questions, like, picture's not looking right here, right? And you need an answer. And Mary, she asks, how? Well, how can this be since I'm a virgin? That's a good question. Amen? How's this going to happen? I mean, I hear what you're saying, but woo, that picture does not look like, that doesn't look right. Never known a man. Well, the Spirit of God will overshadow you. It'll be a God thing. That's how it's going to happen. How do things happen in your life? Through God. And Mary, even though she asked how, the peace was when she trusted in God's plan. When she trusted in God's plan, then she could say, okay, I have peace. Mary asked how. And Joseph said, say what? 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 And Joseph was like, okay, this ain't happening. And so he planned to put her away because they were betrothed. That was more like a marriage to us, is a more permanent engagement thing that required a divorce. And he was going to put her away silently because he was a reputable man and he didn't want to drag her name through the mud. And so he was trying to protect her. And an angel came to him and said, hey, this is the Lord's doing. And what did Joseph have to do to have peace? He had to trust in God's plan. Now, that sure didn't look like the peace that he was thinking of. But when he trusted in God's plan, it fit in a sigh of relief. The apostles. You know, after Jesus was resurrected from the dead and he was walking on earth before he ascended into heaven, guess what? They had a question, because the picture wasn't complete yet in their eyes. They still saw some missing pieces, and they had a question for Jesus, and their question was, when? When, Lord? Is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is it now? Is it now? Is it now? Is this it? Is this the time when you're going to come and bring your kingdom on earth? Is this it? Is it now? Is it now? And Jesus' answer to them was, it's not for you to know the times or seasons or the epochs of what God has fixed. But you, Peter, you, James, you, John, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, the disciples were asking when. Well, the answer to their peace was this. The peace that would bring them peace was when they would learn just to trust in God's presence. Just to trust in God's presence. It didn't matter when Jesus was going to return, when Jesus was going to set up his kingdom on earth, because the power and the Spirit of God indwelt them, and they just needed to walk in the presence of God living in and through them so that they might be the witnesses to the world. Just trust in my presence, that I am with you, and I will be with you always, and live that out and be a witness unto me. That peace came when they trusted just in God's presence. You know, you have some folks, man, they really get anxious. Some people get fearful about the end of the world, about when, because he is going to come back. That's part of our Advent. Our Advent is looking forward to the second coming of God. But don't let that get you anxious. Don't let that get you nervous. Find peace in knowing that you have the presence of God dwelling in you. And some folks, they really try to jam some wrong pieces in there, don't they? Oh, it's the end time. Maybe, may not, but I know there's been some wrong pieces jammed in it through all of history, right? Back when Hitler was around, how many people thought he was the Antichrist? A bunch. And if I was living during that time, I probably would have been one that would have been putting that piece in there. Hey, this guy's the Antichrist. This guy's the Antichrist. And then put it in there. You know, COVID came. What was that? Whoop! That's one of the plagues. That's got to be one of the plagues. The shot, mark of the beast, we jam that in there. The one world currency, Bitcoin, here it is, we jam that in there. And we jam all these stuff in there because the picture's not complete, and some of us, we can't be content with that. We've got to have an answer, we've got to have an answer. And when do we want the answer? Now, we want it now, we want it now. And God says, it's not for you to know all that stuff. You just need to rest in my presence. Just know that I'm in you and I'm living through you. And that you're to be my witness, and that you're supposed to be a testimony to who I am. Yes, you are to long and look for the coming of the Lord. But it's not to make you fearful or anxious or worried, but to be faithful, to carry out your mission of God's presence in you. Amen? You with me? Say amen. Those were the believers. Those were people who loved God. And notice, all these people that loved God, they still had some questions, didn't they? The puzzle of their life wasn't nicely packaged and fit together. They still had some questions. And I would guess that you and your life is a lot like my life. I don't have all the answers for my life, and the whole picture to my life isn't complete. I still have questions, and I still have some doubts. What about you? But the key to my peace is Jesus, because he is the peace for your peace. The religious leaders, oh, did they have questions. They had a lot of questions. The religious leaders asked, who does this man think he is? By what authority are you doing these things? Why are you doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath? Because why? Because Jesus didn't fit their peace. They had their own piece of what the Messiah was to look like. He was to be King David. He was to come and wipe out the Roman Empire. He was there to establish rule and reign on the earth, and Jesus didn't come and do that. And so because Jesus didn't fit that, they couldn't accept him. And Jesus longed to come to his own, but his own received him not. And all the while, all of the religious leaders, the ones who knew the Old Testament by memory, missed it because they were trying to jam their own piece into that puzzle, and they missed the true piece to their piece, who was Jesus. Pilate, you remember Pilate? Pilate had some questions, didn't he? Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate really didn't want to have anything to do with him. And he was like, are you a king? Are you a king? And, you know, who are you? He's asking. He says, you say, right, that, you know, that I'm a king. Oh, you're a king? He says, my kingdom, Jesus responded, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, if you admit that you have a kingdom, then that means you're a what? Then you are a king. Jesus didn't deny he was a king. My kingdom is not of this world. Oh, so you are a king. You see, Pilate was trying to fit Jesus into an earthly king, but Jesus had a kingdom that was not of this world. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. He missed it. Right there, standing before him, was the peace to Pilate's peace, and he missed it. I wonder how many people today miss it. They live a life of frustration. They live a life of anxiety. They live a life of stress, of worry, of chaos. And all the while, Jesus, who is the peace for their peace, they try multiple ways to find it. You know, there's something within mankind that knows something is not right. I think it's a God-given thing. I think because we were designed by God to know him, to love him, to follow him, Genesis 1 and 2. We were created to have a relationship with God, but sin destroyed that, broke that puzzle, broke it to pieces. But there's a longing in our soul to be made right with our Creator. Blaise Pascal was credited to saying this: what else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace? This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are. Though none can help him, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God himself. What are ways that we try to get back to God that's not the right peace? Well, in Kentucky, most people think that the peace is just being a good old boy. If I'm just a good old boy, I'm going to go to heaven, right? How many people try to put that piece in the puzzle? A lot. But here's the problem. When you compare yourself to someone, you will always compare yourself to someone that's worse than you. Huh? Right? Well, I'm better than he is. Right? Like when you go to the gym. If I go to the gym, I don't try to go stand by the guy that's buff and ripped. I try to find somebody that's worse out of shape than I am, right? Make me feel a little bit better about myself. Well, you know, I might not look like him, but, you know, at least, you know what I'm saying? And we compare ourselves to people. You know, nobody says, you know, nobody compares themselves to, like, Billy Graham. You know, have you ever heard someone say, well, you know, let me think of somebody else. I'm better than Hitler, right? Anybody can take somebody and you can be better than. But guess what? Your goodness is never good enough. Because no matter how good you are, you will never be perfect and holy and righteous. That piece won't fit. Some people try to find it through their education, through their status, through their fame, through their fortune, through pleasure. I don't know. There's all kinds of multiple things that we try to fit. I need peace. I don't have peace, so I'm going to try to find it through drugs, through alcohol, through sex, through whatever it might be. And I try to fill the void, and I try to fill the void, and nothing brings me peace because there's only one peace to your peace. And that is who? Jesus. Ephesians 2:13. Put that verse back up there. In Ephesians 2:13, but now in who? Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near how? By the blood of Christ. Those of you who were far off, you know how we could say that in the context of this message? For those of you whose lives was broken into all kinds of pieces, through the blood of Jesus, you have been made whole. You have been put back together. And so how do we have the right peace? What is the correct piece for the puzzle? It's who? Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we are forgiven of our sin, and we are promised everlasting life. And so it is not until we trust in Jesus that we have peace. Some of you all just experienced some peace right then. Oh, whew, finally. You'll have to go back and listen to the message because you didn't hear a thing I said until right then. You see, you can live a life of unrest and ask the questions of why, or you can be like Job and trust in the peace of God's providence. You can live in frustration and wonder if the Lord will ever hear your prayer, or you can be like Abraham and trust in the peace of God's promise. You can live in doubt and deny the ability of God to use you to accomplish that which he has set forth for you to do, or you can be like Moses and trust in the peace of God's power. You can live in confusion and wonder how the Lord will bring about his purpose, or you can be like Mary and trust in the peace of God's plan. You can live in fear of the return of the Lord, or you can be like the apostles and trust in the peace of God's presence. For Jesus is the peace for your peace. You see, in Matthew, he's the sinner's savior and the believer's sustenance. In Mark, he's the sinner's cure and the believer's king. In Luke, he's the sinner's friend and the believer's father. In John, he's the sinner's light and the believer's Lord. In Matthew, they asked, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And Jesus answered, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. In Mark, they asked, who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus answered, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. In Luke, they asked him, why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. In John, Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can this be? And Jesus answered, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus is the peace for your peace. Somebody say amen. And then Jesus, he asks a question. Ooh, when Jesus asks a question. Jesus turned to the disciples and Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. While others say you're one of the prophets. And then he asked a pointed question that I believe he still asks today. But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon you, Peter, upon you, upon this statement that you just made, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Peter's answer was the right answer. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in him and through him and in him alone will we have peace. This morning, I wonder, who do you say Jesus is? For many of you this morning, I think you would say the same thing that Peter said. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know Jesus to be my Lord. He forgave me. I remember the day when I called upon Jesus to forgive me my sin, and I remember that day when he forgave me and the weight that lifted off of me. Oh, what a joy that was. What a peace I felt. Have y'all remember the day when the burden of your sin was lifted, carried away? What a peace, right? Peace of God comes through faith that Jesus is Lord. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my sin rolled away, it was there by grace I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. That made me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul said, those of you who were scattered, broken, those of you this morning, if you don't know Christ, if you're still trying to find peace in the world, and the peace through wealth, and the peace through your own wisdom, and you're trying to fit the peace to what's missing in your soul right now, can I save you some frustration? Would you just come to the fount that is filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilt and stain. Would you come to Jesus? And then you will find peace. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you have revealed yourself, that you have come down, that we might know you, that we might be saved and set free, that the hole, the longing in our life, the brokenness that sin caused, the separation has been healed by Christ. Lord, this morning, if there's someone that does not know you, they have they're trying to fit the wrong piece to bring them peace. I pray, God, that today you'd open up their eyes, that you'd open up their heart to the truth of who you are. And Lord, and they would just accept your grace. And may they put Jesus in their lives so they can experience peace. Lord, I pray for every believer here today. Lord, the believers who have doubt, who have fear, who have anxiety, who are depressed, those who have questions that they don't know, that they wonder. Lord, help us to trust in your promise and your plan and your power and your presence. Lord, may we do look for your return, not out of one out of fear, not of one that causes us to be worried, but one that just causes us to be peaceful, knowing that you have a plan and that your plan is in and through Christ. And so, Lord, help us to trust you, God, for it's in the mighty name of Jesus we do pray. Amen.